Those of you who don't have to buy tampons may not know that in many states you pay a sales tax on menstrual products. Several states, though, have either eliminated that tax or are considering doing so. Stacey Vanek-Smith and Constanza Hayardo from Planet Money's The Indicator have been adding up the costs of the so-called tampon tax.
Sales tax. Most people in this country pay sales tax on most of the things they buy. It's a big source of state revenue. Some items, like food or water, that are seen as, like, necessary to survival, are not subject to this tax.
Prescription and non-prescription drugs are also exempt. Medicines like aspirin, DayQuil, or Viagra. Also medical equipment and supplies, which can be things like chapstick or gauze.
But tampons, pads, cups, and all of the menstrual hygiene products do not fall into the medical supply category in many states. And a lot of people argue that's not fair.
Zoe Salzman is one of the lawyers that filed a lawsuit in New York to eliminate the sales tax on menstrual products back in 2016. Salzman and her team argued these products are a medical supply, and they should be tax exempt.
And one example the Department of Tax gave was things like bandages, gauze, and dressings. And so those are items that are used to staunch the flow of blood from the human body, and tampons and pads, as well as cups and panty liners, those are used to staunch the flow of blood from the uterus. So again, clearly, you know, these items have to fit within that definition.
Zoe made her case, and the New York legislature took notice. And in fact, passed a bill back in 2016 to exempt feminine products in New York from sales tax. So that extra cost, here in New York, we do not pay it anymore.
Yeah, but many other women in other states do pay it, and over time, that cost adds up. And a study published this year by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists found that 2 out of 3 low-income women in the U.S. couldn't afford menstrual products at least once a year. And nearly half of them struggled to buy both food and menstrual hygiene products over the last year. In fact, there's economic research that the tax break on tampons really benefits low-income people. That's based on consumer data after New Jersey's tampon tax was repealed back in 2005. Research showed that by eliminating the tax, it made products cheaper and more accessible to lower-income women.
But some people say the tampon tax needs to stay.
So when you start moving into this world of exemptions, you start adding complexity because you have to define what is and is not a qualified good under the exemption.
Nicole Keating is with the Tax Foundation, a think tank that studies tax policy. She says sales tax exemptions can be problematic because they can mean that states don't have enough money to fund public policies or programs. And as a result, states may have to increase other types of taxes to get that funding back.
Back in 2016, California Governor Jerry Brown vetoed a bill that planned to eliminate the state's tampon tax. He argued that by not taxing menstrual products, California could lose up to $20 million in annual taxes.
And the governor has a point. Here in New York, where we eliminated the tax on menstrual products, we're losing about $14 million a year in lost tax revenue. Of course, this isn't just an economic issue. It's a political issue, too. Last year, for example, Nevada voted to make menstrual products tax exempt.
And this year, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio, and California are pushing for legislation to repeal the tampon tax.
Stacey Vanek-Smith,
Constanza Gallardo, NPR News.